Christmas night to a child, the end of a furlough to a serviceman, the end of the holidays to a college student, graduation from college to a young person, the kids going away to college to a parent, retirement to a man, from the cradle to the grave, we have something in common. That empty feeling, that melancholy feeling, that feeling of sadness that comes at the last, at the last, at the last. Tomorrow, today, next Monday, sometime during the week, many, many sad goodbyes will have to be said. Many of you have looked forward to seeing your grandchildren for a year, and now their departure to go home again is at hand. Last year, the day after Christmas, I was riding down Columbia Street, driving to work in my car. Let's see, was Christmas on Thursday? Yes, on Friday. Calumet Street. I was driving up Calumet Street across the bridge between Munster and Hammond. And may I say again this morning, hinge on every word I say, because I'm going to help you if you'll let me. I got thinking as I crossed that bridge. I saw a serviceman hitchhiking. I got thinking of all the people in the world who are saying goodbye. I thought of servicemen, college students, sweethearts, husbands, relatives, saying goodbye. I got to thinking of all the tears that were being shed at that moment around the world, at airports, train stations, front porches, living rooms, and elsewhere. I got a pen out of pocket. I got a piece of scratch paper, put it on the side in the middle seat here, and began to write. And I wrote an article, coming, driving with my left hand, and writing with my right, called The Glory of Your Absence. It is a chapter in Blue Denim and Lace, my book. This may have been 2 years ago. Anyway, it was the day after Christmas. And The Glory of Your Absence. I wrote it, I did not edit it, did not change one word, as I put it in Blue Denim and Lace, one of my books. I never come to this time of the year without thinking of the days in my life when this empty feeling, this melancholy, it's over. It's over. The furlough to which I've looked and dreamed and longed, it's over. The days at home from school, my home, my family, my home church, my friends, they're over. Santa Claus has come and gone. It's over. The biggest day of the year is that to which I've looked and for which I've dreamed and for which I've longed is over. How do you lick that feeling? A few years ago, at the breakfast table, I looked over and Cindy, who's now 11, she must have been 7 then or 8, she began to cry. It was the day that she was going back to school after New Year's. And I said, Cindy, why are you crying? And she said, I don't know. But I did. For I had been 7, and I had been 8. The truth is, I cried every day when I went to school. But I said, why are you crying? And she said, I don't know. I just am. And again, I wrote a chapter of Blue Denim and Lace that day. It's called The Day Christmas is Over. In that chapter, I say this. Here's the reason why she cried. She cried because she was looking to yesterday. All year long, she'd been happy. Christmas is coming! Christmas is coming! Christmas is coming! And she looked forward to it. But now she turned to look back. Yesterday is always dead. Tomorrow is alive. To look to yesterday means you look to death, because yesterday has passed. But don't forget that day before yesterday, yesterday was tomorrow. And as long as it's tomorrow, it's wonderful to which to look to. But when it becomes yesterday, don't look back at it, because it's dead. Looking to a certain day, December 25th, looking forward to it is life. Looking backward to it is death. And the great secret, I say, is always have a tomorrow. Never look to yesterday, for yesterday died at midnight last night. Look to tomorrow, for tomorrow always lives. And now the message. When I was a kid, I was a runt. I was the smallest kid in the class up until at my 17th year, I began to grow. I gained all the way to 100 pounds in my 17th year. By the time I was 18, or the time I was a little past 17, I weighed about 135. But I was always a runt till I got up around 16, 17. But I was and don't any of you tongue-tied people make fun of this, I was a thinker. Yes, I know. You still are a thinker, Brother Howes, I know. But I thought. I didn't go with the girls. I didn't have any boys that I ganged with. I had some buddies that I was with some. And my 17th year, I had a crowd, but I was a loner. And I used to walk a lot at night, late at night. I was 13, 14, 15, round the block, up and down the street, and think. And I thought about life. We had a drugstore called the Darty's Pharmacy that was about a mile from my house. At night, I would walk. Every Wednesday night, after prayer meeting, I would walk up to Darty's Pharmacy and get me a malted milk. They cost a nickel in those days. Now, can you feature that? A nickel. I'd get me a malted milk, and I'd drink it. I'd walk back. And as I'd walk slowly. And usually, something like this. And I'd think about life. What's it all about? And as I thought, I drew my philosophies by which I've tried to live for these years. I'm filled with a bit of emotion this morning for many reasons, and you are too. And so I hope that you'll follow, and I hope I can present what I want to present. One night, one of my buddies came out of church. He was always an active kind of a guy, always full of enthusiasm, and the least likely guy to think in the whole church. Sort of like you guys. But not at all a deep thinker. He's always a guy that changing girlfriends and playing tricks. You ought to see, I'd never let you see what he wrote in my annual. Never would let you see it. He's coming out of the church. I said, "Hey, Bob, look, I'm going to walk out of a dime." I didn't get a dime once every month. But I got a dime, and I'll buy you a malted milk. Bob's the kind of fellow who wouldn't give a nickel to walk with me, but he'd give a nickel to get a malted milk free. So he said, "Okay." And we walked. Well, I could tell he was bored. I got talking, you know. Life. He was anxious to get the malted milk, and I'm sure he wouldn't have gone had it not been a free malted milk. We talked about life. I said this. I've been thinking about this. And I said to Bob, and I could recall it like it was yesterday. I said, "Bob, I've been thinking about something. You know, everything finally gets here." Now think about that. I couldn't have been, I guess I was 15, I'm guessing. 16 maybe. I said, "Bob, everything finally gets here." You say, "What's so profound about that?" You think about it. You think about it. "Mrs. Davis, you wept a while ago, and you weep day after day. You know why? You knew it was going to come. But it got here, didn't it? It got here. Everything finally gets here." I said, "Bob, let's take a ball game." We played ball a lot. "We have a ball game out yonder set a month from now. And it seems like it'll never come, but before you know it, Bob, The game is on. And before you know it, it's over. Ladies and gentlemen, the last will come. Everything, finally. You know, I said, let's take Bob. I said, you know, before long, we're going to be grown and married. He said, oh, come on, Jack, you're too deep. I said, no, it's going to come. He said, that'll be years from now. We were 16 at the time. A year from now. I said, but it's going to come. One of these days. Oh, come on. I said, it's going to come. Bob, it comes. I mean, you look out, you set something and say it'll never get here. But it does. Everything will eventually get here. And about everything in this world, you can say, at the last, a furlough is going to end. I'm going to confess something. It's terrible. When I had a furlough one time in the Army, and it ended, and I didn't want to go back, and I said, Lord, give me a way where I can go, where I can stay. Don't tell the Army about this. I'll be in the. They'll have me up before a judge and a jury. And so my sister, I said, Lord, give me a way. And Earlene fell and sprained her ankle. And I wired my company commander and said, sister, injured in accident, please extend furlough. And he sent me a 6-day extension on my furlough. Try it, Ben. Be worth a try. He didn't ask me what kind of an accident it was. But anyway, you know that 6 days ended too? Everything ends. I like to read sometimes over in Genesis. It talks about Lamech lived so many years, but he died. Adam lived over 900 years, but he died. Methuselah lived over 900 years, but he died. But he died. Doesn't matter how long. You live 70 years, it's going to come. You live 900 years, it's going to come. Everything is going to end at the last, at the last, at the last. And then as a 16-year-old boy, I said to Bob, Bob, do you know that life is that way? He said, what are you talking about? I said, you and I are going to die. Why, he said, Jack, come on, get off of it, man. He said, we're just 16. Well, in fact, he was just 15. I'm 6 months older than he. And he said, we're just teenagers, get off of it. I said, no, Bob, it's true. It's true. We're going to die. And I said, Bob, it's going just like the ball game. It seems like it'll never get here. But it does. It just does. And I said, there'll be a day, Bob, and it's going to come when you and I will sit down and look at death and we'll say, it got here. Now, here's a strange thing. This morning, he's there. Unless a miracle takes place, he's there today. 16 years old we were, fellas. I said, Bob, it's going to come. He said, knock it off, Jack. Get off of it. I said, but Bob, I've been thinking. Life is going to end. A ball game, it seems like it's forever, but it comes. And I said, Bob, the day's going to come when you and I are going to sit down and face death. I got a call last Tuesday. They said, Bob Keyes has not one chance to live. Now, he's still alive. I called again yesterday, and they said, if he were to live, he'd be an invalid the rest of his life. But he's this morning in intensive care with his heart about gone. He's there. He's where I said he would be 28 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, whether it's a furlough, whether it's life, whether it's home for college, from college, whether it's a good time, whether it's Christmas Day, it comes to pass. It comes to pass. And after Bob went home that night with our malted milk, I sat down. I had a little room. My mother's not here this morning. She's in Texas. But she'd know this. We had a little room back in the back of our little apartment, just about 6 by 8, enough room for a bed and me to get by and get dressed. And I sat down about midnight 28 years ago, and I began to write. And I wrote what I'm giving you right now. How can you keep that feeling from coming? How can you keep that melancholy feeling from coming? How can you avoid that emptiness that comes when Christmas ends? When you say goodbye and go back, and you've dreamed of coming home, I'm home, and now I'm gone. How do you make it? And I wrote down these words. I found them several years ago in my 16-year-old handwriting. Never preached about it. I want to give them to you. I wrote this line: the secret to happiness is having a new beginning ready at the end. Hear me now. The secret to happiness is having a new beginning ready when something ends. Let me say it again. The secret to happiness is having a new beginning ready when something ends. Becky and I were talking Christmas night. I said, "Becky, how do you feel about going back?" And we talked about it a while. Now, I said, "Becky, I think it'd be better for you to go back Sunday afternoon rather than Sunday night after the service. Now, I know you like to be in church Sunday night, but if you get home driving all night, you're tired, it's bad enough having to leave if you go back. But I said, if you're tired and worn out, it's not good. You see, it's always good when something ends to have a new beginning already to take its place." Now, Becky is taking Pam. They're taking Linda back with them. Don't you see what I'm saying? Linda's going back with them. Now, it won't be as hard, you see. Why? Because there is a new beginning prepared. Now, that's why you have that. Look, happiness is not accidental. Success is not accidental. Success is on purpose. Happiness is on purpose. And people who are happy are happy because they plan to be happy. And one of the great secrets to it is having a new beginning immediately at the ending of the old. Let me see if I can help you. Have your plans, good plans made, to start immediately upon graduation from high school. Have something good planned immediately upon leaving to go back to the service. Open your Christmas presents on the way back. Save your presents and open them on the train, on the plane, on the way back. College kids, have a party plan. Have a banquet plan on the first day back to school. You see, have a new beginning. That's one reason why many people's lives end when their children go off to college. It's because they have not planned a new beginning. That's why some people, when they retire, just die. I mean, start to die. You know why? Have no hobbies. You have no new beginning plan. Nothing tomorrow. After death, start life tomorrow. When something dies, when something ends, begin something else tomorrow. And I sat down as a 16-year-old boy and I said, "Okay, Jack, this empty feeling doesn't have to be." And for 28 years, I've planned always a new beginning at the end of something good. You know one reason I can walk out of that door and bounce in here Sunday after Sunday? You'll have to look very carefully to find out whether I'm sad or not. You'll have to check very carefully to find out whether I'm up or down. You know why? Because I'm most always up. You know why I'm most always up? Because 28 years ago as a 16-year-old boy, I decided to start a new beginning. That's why it's not so bad to die if you're saved. You know why? A new beginning starts when a Christian dies. That's what it's all about. And so as a kid, I thought about the plans for the future. There's a second thing I wrote down that night. By the way, I'm not very smart. I'm not as smart now as I was when I was 16. But for a 16-year-old, that may help him learn to live. Always plan a beginning. Plan the most active activities for Christmas night or the day after Christmas.
School teachers make the biggest day and the happiest day in school the day after the holidays.
For when a new beginning is planned at the end of something good, it gives joy and happiness to life. And that's why if you're not saved, dear friends, you shrink at death. That's why when you go to a service, a funeral service, that's why you walk by the casket and you just sort of look like that and then walk away. I've seen you. Why? Death is horrible to you. Death is something from which you flee and something that makes you cringe and something from which you shrink. Why? You've made no provisions for something new, a new beginning after death. You ought to shrink. You ought to cry. You ought to worry. You ought to look the other way. You ought not to face it. Why? You've made no provisions. My buddy of a lifetime, Bob Keyes. Never forget the first day I ever saw him. I pitched for the Lisbon softball team as a junior boy, age of, how old are you? Girls, you sit still while I preach. Sit back. You look at me while I preach. You listen to what I say. I'll help you if you listen, and I'll hurt you if you don't. How old are you, son? Either one of you. When I was 10, like I said, I'm up about 9, I was pitching for the Lisbon junior team. We played the Trinity Heights team. By the way, the Lisbon crowd, Lisbon was the slum area. That's where I live. All the poor people lived in Lisbon. In Trinity Heights, a lot of rich people lived. And so we Lisbon kids went to Trinity Heights and played them in softball. And I was pitching. And the cockiest little kid played shortstop for Trinity Heights. Had cotton white hair and was a loudmouth and the cockiest kid. And I said to myself, I don't like that kid. Wasn't long till we moved to Trinity Heights in one of the poorer homes, our apartment. And he and I became buddies. We lived about a block and a half from each other. We became buddies. And we have been now for these years. He became my assistant pastor at the Miller Road Baptist Church for 3 years. The first church he pastored, he became a preacher. First church he pastored, I recommended him to the church and helped him get the church. I talked to his dad the night before last, and he said, after you called, I went to the room. Bob was about dead. Doctor said he wouldn't live but through the day. And Bob routed and came to consciousness, and I said, Bob, guess who called? He said, Jack. He knew I'd call. And he said, Dad, I think I'm going to be with the Lord. I think I'm going to be with the Lord. The second thing I wrote down is this. Do things in life that never end. Do things in life that never end. One, things that must end, prepare a new beginning. Two, as a 16-year-old lad, I wrote, do things in life that never end. Now, what never ends? This old blessed book never ends. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word of God endureth forever. Not one jot, not one tittle, not one comma, not one exclamation point, not one period, not one quotation mark, not one letter, not one word will ever pass away from this book. Spend time in the book. And as a 16-year-old lad, I began to dig in the book. And I began to read it and read it and read it as a little lad. And all the kids thought I'd lost my mind, thought I was a fanatic. But I came to the conclusion that night, late at night, when I was 16 years of age, that I'd better spend my life on something that never ends. And blessed be God, this book will never end. Something else I thought. I thought of love. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love never faileth. True love never ends. And I bowed as a 16-year-old kid, and I said, oh, my God, give me love in my heart. I mean real love, not the synthetic, hypocritical, hippie kind of love and a false kind of peace, but give me real love. May God baptize me in godly love, for love never faileth. And then I thought about this, the souls of men. Daniel 12:3 says, they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. And I've turned many to righteousness. By the way, when Bob became my assistant pastor, he had never won a soul personally. And I wanted to train him. He said, I just couldn't be a soul winner. We're having a tent revival. Joe Boyd is preaching it. And I got a card. What's the name of that family? That's the Jenkins. Red-headed fellow. Got a card. This is Miss Jenkins. And I heard they're red hot about being saved, wanted to get saved. It's signed on the card. They wanted to be saved. And I heard that they're begging for a preacher to come. And I didn't tell Bob that. I just walked up and I said, Bob, go by and see this couple. They might be a little mean, but go by and see them. Truth is, anybody could have won them. Bob said, oh, I'm not a soul winner. I said, go on, go by and see them. And Bob went by. He came bouncing in about an hour later. He said, glory to God, praise the Lord. He said, both of them got saved. And Bob became one of the great soul winners in this country. They that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. I said to Bob that night, late at night, a 16-year-old boy, I said, Bob, look at Dr. Rutherford, our Sunday school teacher. God bless him. I said, he's investing in our lives. You and I had better do things that never end. Look at Proctor Boyd, that godly man that taught us in Sunday school. He's investing in eternal things. And may I say, I don't care if you're 6, 16, or 60. If you want to be happy in life, invest your life in things that never end. Love never faileth. The word of God never passeth away. He that they that turn into righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever and ever. That's why you're miserable. You spend your life on things under the sun. That's why you're not happy. You have no new beginning to start when something ends. Now, for 25 years, yea, 28 years, I have dwelt on the eternal. I've always had a new beginning ready. You know one reason why when something ends, I don't wilt? You know one reason why when I'd go back after a furlough, I didn't wilt? Because I always in life have realized that looking back to yesterday is deadly. Looking forward to tomorrow brings life. If yesterday carried with it the end of my furlough, or the end of my stay at home, or the end of Christmas season, or the end of a happy experience, if I can plan a new beginning for tomorrow, then I can be happy today. For the happiness of tomorrow, or the happiness of today, is determined by whether I look back to a dead yesterday or forward to a live tomorrow. And it matters not what happens. My tomorrows are all alive. Yes, one of these days I'll say to you what I said to Bob. You're going to be there. Yes, you are. You're going to be there, kids. You're going to be there. 16 years old. Bob, we're going to die. Oh, knock it, Jack. Get off of it. No, don't get off of it. You're going to be there. All across this room this morning, there are empty seats. Oh, they're filled with another, but yet, in some cases, they're empty. Where those whom we've loved and who walk with us, who've heard these lips move and heard this voice speak to us and love us, they've gone. Their seat is empty, for it came. And Dr. Billings, it's going to come to you too. It's going to come. And John, it's already come to you. It's going to come. You wonder why these dear saints of God, some of them now, 80 and 90 years of age, can be happy. Huh? You say, well, you know, how can a person be happy when life's evening sun is sinking low? A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there shall be no setting sun. How can they be happy? I'll tell you how they're happy. They have prepared a new beginning when life ends. That's how they're happy. And don't you tell me. If you don't know you've got something to begin after. Listen, if you just believe that a person dies, that's the end of it. You still don't want to die. No, you don't. No, you don't. And just as I said to Bob 16 years ago, or 28 years ago, it's going to come, Bob. It's going to come to you. It is. For as the Scripture says, this too shall pass away. The day is going to come when I'll preach my last sermon behind this pulpit. It may be, and I hope it is, that it'll be before the Sunday before I pass away. But the day's going to come. I close with this. One Wednesday night, I gritted my teeth, and I walked into the Miller Road Baptist Church prayer meeting in Garland, Texas, and shocked every member of my church when I said, God's called me to go to Hammond, Indiana. I've never been to a funeral as sad. I've never heard people scream and weep and wail like I heard that night. I have never seen as many people so completely overcome with grief as that night. And I resigned. I walked out the side door to a little walkway. All the folks were still there and somebody was trying to console them, just to cry a while. And out in the dark was my secretary, Dorothy Langston. And Dorothy had had to leave because she was so grief-stricken. She didn't even know I was going. And as I walked through the dark spot, Dorothy didn't know I was there. And she said, dear God, she said, I can't bear the thought of the house leaving. She said, Miller Road without the house is like home without a mother. She didn't know I heard her. I tiptoed past. She never knew I was there. It wasn't long after I came here. So Dorothy Langston, in her early 30s, a lovely lady, was giving birth to a baby. And the doctor said the heartbeat has stopped. And Dorothy Langston was gone. And her home had no mother. It's going to end. It's going to end. Have you planned a new beginning? Let us pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you'll heed what I said this morning, it'll enrich your life like few things ever will. For they have enriched mine like few things ever have. But you're going to stand one day where Bob Keyes is today. Oxygen tent, family pacing outside, doctors frantically working, friends calling from across the country, how is he? And one day, the doctor's going to come to the hall and say to your wife, your loved ones, your husband, your children, he's gone. For everything must come to pass. Have you planned a new beginning? Have you planned a new beginning?